car. I kind of led that, and sort of hated when it goes away over time. I had a sister and brother-in-law who got a new house. Now, this house didn't have anywhere near the character of the homes around here, but it was in Southern California, and it was just something about it. New rooms, new carpet, new paint, new cabinets, a new view, and a new yard, and there was something about that. You like that. I'm imagining most of us got a bunch of new stuff for Christmas, and that's exciting when you open new shoes or a new outfit or a new baseball cap or a new electronic gadget. A little update, my daughter did not get her iPhone, sorry. The question we want to wrestle with this morning is, what if we could be praying? Our passage from the New Testament is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21. As we read together God's word. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So, we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, God made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The word of the Lord. Let me pray for us. God, we thank you for this passage of Scripture, and I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts will be acceptable to you, O Christ, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So we like newness, at least most of the times, and we ask the question, and we read this passage, and we say, well, that's great, because there's probably some things I'd like to hit a reset button on. As we're approaching 2018, there's probably a few things I'd like to modify, adjust, or just forget about. But how do we get there? Well, I think first we have to understand the great cost that was paid in order for us to receive this newness. A friend, an author, and one of the kind of older mentors of mine back in my younger days, Brendan Manning, tells a story of when he grew up kind of in the New York area, and he had a young friend named Saul. And Saul and him would meet at the playground and sit in the sandbox all the time and solve the world's problems. And they grew up and they went their separate ways and they went to college. And when they came back for one Christmas break, they gathered together in their sandbox. And as they were sitting in the sandbox, Brennan was really amazed to know that Saul, a Jewish boy, had received Jesus as his Messiah. And Brennan was very fascinated to understand how Saul understood Jesus and the sacrifice that Jesus made to make us new. And Saul said, well, let me go home and I'll come back tomorrow and we'll meet here in the sandbox and I'll tell you about it. And the next day, Saul came back and met Brennan in the sandbox. And Saul, pen name Shel Silverstein, wrote a forgiving tree to explain to Brennan Manning his understanding of how he as a Jew understood the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's an amazing story. And as you read it, it's one of those stories I remember hearing for the first time as a child and saying, well, it's great, it's cute, it's charming, but it's tragic. You know, it's kind of painful to see what happens to this poor tree. And it's hard to even imagine this tree straightening herself up as a stump and letting this jerk sit on her. I mean, it's like, how do you cope with this thing? And yet, as Shel explained to Brennan, that is my understanding of the passage in Philippians chapter 2 that said, Christ emptied himself for our sakes. You know, you might ask the question, who's the most sinful person who has ever lived? There's some classic, notorious folks that come to mind. Hitler, Stalin, Idi Amin, Bin Laden, all of these, and probably many more. But what if I told you that the most sinful person that ever lived, at least for a moment, was Jesus? Now, before you run me out here as a church, How else do we understand verse 21 in our passage? It says, for our sake, God made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The passage that Bobby read out of Isaiah, all we like sheep have gone astray, and all of us have turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the sin of us all. Or Galatians 3, chapter verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. When we think of the agony of Calvary, it's not just the beating and the spikes and the humiliation, all of which obviously were agonizing for Jesus. But I believe part of the agony that Jesus suffered on the cross as he literally took on the sin of the whole world and absorbed that into himself to the point where God the Father turned his back on him and Jesus in agony cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Do we really understand the great cost for our salvation? And maybe we've heard it so much it becomes dull. We almost forget it. We've seen these passages, but we've never really pondered that Jesus took our sin and washed it away and clean. He emptied himself like the giving tree for us because we're no different than the Lord and bore the sin of all of us. But because of that great cost, there is also a great effect. The promise of the gospel is that in Christ, we're brand new. This verse 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, so if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. It doesn't say some. It doesn't say most. It doesn't say, yeah, all but that one. You know which one I'm talking about. No, it says everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new. And it's a quality of newness that we don't think about because we have an accuser who loves to whisper in our ear, oh, but remember that one. God still holds that against you. And so we kind of think of newness maybe as like when you take your car and you get a detail and they recondition the leather and the leather smells good, but you know it's not new. It's just kind of reconditioned. That's not the newness. Or you buy a warehouse and it's kind of dented up, or an old barn, and you kind of patch it up, you bang out a few dents, and it's sort of partially restored, but it's not new. No, that's not the newness that this is talking about. There's a sense in which, without being too graphic, there's a spiritual virginity that happens where we get a clean slate entirely. Brendan Manning also told a story about a woman who attended a Catholic church. Brendan was Roman Catholic. And the priest of the church heard a rumor that this woman was seeing visions of Jesus. The priest was skeptical at best, and so the priest set an appointment with the woman and said, I'd like to talk with you about this. And so she comes, and she says, is it true that you see visions of Jesus and that he speaks with you? She says, yes, Father, I do. And the priest very skeptically says, okay, I've got an assignment for you. She says, name it. She says, the next time you're with him, ask him for a specific list of the sins that I made confession on at the last confessional. And the woman was shocked and said, do you want me to ask what your sins were? He says, yes, I want them word for word. I want them in detail. And when you've gotten that, call me and we'll set another appointment. A couple weeks went by. The woman called the priest and said, I'd like to meet with you. Had another vision of Jesus. And so the priest met with her and he said, you had a vision of Jesus. She said, yes, I did. And the priest said, and you asked Jesus what my sins were, correct? She says, yes, I did. He goes, what did Jesus tell you? Jesus said, I don't remember. Which is a great illustration. Because I think we don't really believe that. But that when we have confessed our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and make us brand new to the point where if you go back confessing the same sin, he doesn't know what you're talking about because he's removed it as far as east is from west. We just simply need to live in that and believe that. Now, there's a prerequisite here, obviously. The prerequisite is that we must be in Christ. And this is available to all. But the question for us is, have we truly accepted that? Because if we have, God's promise to us is that we are brand new and we have a brand new identity as his precious child. And the Bible says, I'm convinced that neither height nor depth, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that is the promise of the gospel that we celebrate this morning. So if you are here facing this new year, like probably a lot of us, feeling a little worn out, feeling a little used up, feeling a little beat down, Jesus wants to take that and carry that and give us newness in this new year that transcends mere resolutions, but says, if I'm in Christ, I get to start this new year with everything old being passed away and a chance to have a fresh start and a newness where everything is brand new. May we live in that. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the promise of the gospel. And thank you that you offer to us this amazing grace that is so sweet and it cleanses us and washes us brand new. May we live in that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing about that.
Thank you.
seated. And let's pray together. God, we thank you for